Hi. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. So tonight, well, actually, before I even talk about my sermon title, I just want to encourage you for a brief moment. If in this last week, or the weeks leading up to the last week, or leading up to the new year, you were attempting to, like, level up, like you were like, oh, I'm going to get this in order, I'm going to get this new thing happening, this thing is going to happen, and as you try to step into this new thing, like, chaos broke out, like really weird stuff happened, you were not alone. You were not alone, okay? If that isn't you, grace, blessings. I love that your last couple weeks were filled with peace, okay? But if you did not have a last couple weeks filled with peace, you are not alone. It was not unique to you, okay? It was clear to me that God has great things in store for us as we step over into 2022. Because let me tell you, not blowing up anybody's spots, but people were making big shifts in the last couple weeks. I knew people buying cars. I knew people buying houses. I was just trying to buy a printer, right? Like, I wasn't trying to do anything big, right? I was just trying not to fight with my copier slash scanner slash printer thing because we homeschool. So that printer gets a lot of use, right? And last week, all of a sudden, I was just like, I can't anymore. We can't. Babe, we got some unexpected money. We have this specific thing. Can I go get it? He was like, yeah, go get it. I looked on the internet. It told me where it was. You know how you can check the inventory at the stores? Right? I was like, oh, there's one in Rochester. Ron's like, go. I go. Is it on the shelf? It is not on the shelf. It is not in the back. It's not at the returns. You know, I considered pacing up and down the aisle, staring in people's carts, but I pulled back. I did stay in the parking lot for half an hour, compulsively refreshing the app to see if it got bought, but no. Was there one anywhere within an hour? No. Okay. Right? And so I was like, wait. But that was like, because that's my story. I get to tell my story, right? I don't get to tell other people's stories, right? But other people had some crazy stuff happen. And it was all around this idea of getting stuff in order for the new year. Right? Like, I'm stepping into a new season. I'm getting my stuff set. I'm getting this planned. I'm getting this organized. I'm getting this new thing. Right? And what was felt like it was a blessing, right, all of a sudden felt like a burden on your back. And that is not the Lord. Right? That part is not the Lord. It was a blessing. It is a blessing. Right? And so, just quick, if you are in that swirl, where something you felt like was a blessing suddenly turns into what you feel like is a burden. Okay, I'm going to give you two principles on how to navigate your way through it. Okay, this is not the sermon. This is an extra little bonus from my heart to yours. Okay, I will fully confess, Ron and I are one, so I just get to steal stuff from him, right? Okay, so, because it's not stealing, right? We're one. What is his is mine. What is mine is his. The revelation that he receives from the Lord, it's basically my revelation too, right? Okay, so he was totally counseling someone else with this, so I'm just biting it wholesale and giving it to you, but I'm being honest about it, okay? So thing number one, you don't have to keep playing, Dave, but thank you. Thing number one, be grateful. Be grateful. And this doesn't need to be some, like, whack gratefulness like we talk about, right? Like, okay, let's use the car example because I know I can use that one, right? Okay, car got bought, then it turned out there was a bunch of major stuff wrong with it, okay? Right, not sure if the person was going to deal with it, the dealership was going to deal with it or not, okay? So Ron's like, be grateful. And they're like, I know, be grateful I even have a car. And he's like, no. Like, let's not, like, yes, but no, like, let's not do some kind of resentful, grudging kind of, like, at least I have a car, you know, kind of mess. Like, no, like, be grateful that you had the wherewithal to, like, go and get it checked. That it wasn't, oh, suddenly, right? But, like, you had wisdom. You had someone you trusted go, hey, this is a problem. You found it before something major happened or before even more damage was done. Be thankful, right? Not just, oh, well, at least I have a car. Some people don't have a car. And it's like, no, be thankful that you didn't end up in an accident, right? That the Lord gave you wisdom. Be thankful that these doors were open to you. Be thankful, right? Like, not just this, because sometimes we do gratitude in a really messed up way in the church. Let's just be honest, right? Like, we feel like we've got to, like, force it sometimes. Or people tell us to force it sometimes, right? Like, you're, like, someone's really, really sick, right? And they're like, well, be thankful you still woke up today. I mean, yeah. But, like, is that it? Is that all there is? Is there this kind of, like, well, you don't have the whole thing, so be thankful for the part thing that we have to do? Or can we lean into the goodness of the Lord in a way that really encourages our heart and really leads us into a place of expansion and really leads us into a place of abundance? Not this kind of, like, grudging shroud of gratefulness that we put on, like, oh, well, at least I have something. Like, I just feel slimy talking about that. I feel slimy when people tell me to do that. Like, yes, be thankful. Be thankful. But be thankful in a way that makes your heart come to life. Right? So if you're really thankful for the breath in your lungs, and there's been times when I've been really thankful for the breath in my lungs, right? Be thankful for it. But if that makes you feel, like, resentful and weighed down, like, what else is there for you to be thankful about? Are you thankful in the midst of sickness that your family's around you? Awesome. You guys know my story. I have a kid who has had a number of medical challenges, right? So there have been times when I have been super thankful for the medical team that we've had around us. Right? Even as I'm pressing in for full healing, I'm like, man, like, my kid, Zoe, I mean, she lets me share this stuff, so I get to say her name, right? Okay, so one of the things she dealt with was infantile scoliosis, progressive infantile scoliosis. Her spine, bear with me if you've heard this before, it's still good, okay? Her spine was at a 53-degree angle, right? So if it's straight, if it's 45, then she's past that, right? We discovered this right after she turned a year old. And so at that kind of degree, as she grows, it's going to continue to get worse, right? Because it's so far, gravity is a thing, right? It's going to keep going. Right? And in fact, in her case, it was so severe that there wasn't going to be room for her organs to develop properly. Okay? We did not know we were dealing with this. She had a physical therapist for another reason, because she had some weakness going on at that age. And they asked us to get some eyes on it. They recommended us to a doctor. This doctor was in the top 10 for the country for this specific issue. Rochester guy. She did not know that this is what we were dealing with. My pediatrician was not aware yet that this is what we were dealing with. We just knew something was wrong. And so my insurance just, they were like, oh, let's recommend this guy. He was in our network. They were like, oh, yeah, of course. We walk in there. We are his first Rochester patient ever who's dealing with this. People travel hundreds and thousands of miles to see him. Fight for months with their insurance to get them to pay for the procedures that he does. He just happens to be in our town. Happens to be the in-network orthopedist, pediatric orthopedist for her. Just happens. There's no fight. There's no struggle for me. It's just ease. Right? And so I got to be thankful for the medical team around her, even though God hadn't healed her yet. I didn't have to go, well, thank you that you haven't taken her home yet, Lord. Right? Something that felt kind of weird to say, even though, yes, am I thankful that the Lord hadn't taken me, yes, right? Okay, but I get to be thankful for things that expand me, that where I see the hands of the Lord and his goodness and his mercy moving, even in the medical process. the hand of the Lord moving even in the nudge to take your car into the mechanic, even though what you hear isn't awesome. Right? We get to be thankful for the goodness of the Lord in every single area in a way that is really, really true, not just in a way that we're like, well, I guess I better be grateful. Right? So that's thing number one. If you're dealing with a blessing that suddenly feels like it's a burden, be grateful. And actually lean into gratefulness. Figure out what that looks like in your life. If you need help, get help to figure out what to be grateful for. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. Thing number two, okay? Thing number two is, don't worry ahead of where you are. Okay? Don't worry ahead of where you are. Right? So, like, in this case, in the car case, right? Well, what if the dealer doesn't want to fix it? What if I have to report them to the Better Business Bureau? I don't even have money to sue them. Can I sue them? Like, what could I, like, can I, do I get to say? Okay, so this is my aunt. She's in the back, like, cheering for herself, right? This is my aunt's story, right? Okay, the car thing is her story, right? She goes to the mechanic and finds out that there's $2,000 worth of damage in a car that she has just bought. That's cool. Right? And so it's like, well, what if? I just bought a car. I don't have the money. Like, whoa. Don't worry ahead of where you are. You don't yet know if they'll fix it. You don't know if they'll make it right. So we don't have to go 10 steps ahead to where you have, like, appealed all the way up through the Supreme Court, and now you're, like, a forerunner in case law about, like, lemon cars or something. Like, we don't have to go there. There's a problem. Okay. We're not going to pretend like there's not a problem. So we do need to deal with the trouble of the day. The day is sufficient with its own trouble, right? We're not going to Pollyanna our way out of it and pretend that something's not happening when it in fact is happening. We're not going to ostrich and stick our head in the sand, right? But we're not going to go into tomorrow's trouble. We're today. Car has a problem. Step one. Will they fix it? Spoiler, they did. Or they will. They have not yet. Right? Boom. It's done. And if it wasn't, we deal with the next step. But we don't add weight. We don't add grief. We don't pour on more trouble and more anguish and more anxiety and spiral and spin. I process and I pace when I process. And then when I'm working myself up, I kind of start to flap with my arms like this. And so I'll be having a full-blown conversation with myself. I will be 10 steps down, like, oh, they're going to say this, and then I'm going to say this, and then, okay, and then I'm going to have to call such and such, and then I'm going to have to get my posse together, take off the earrings, we're going to throw hands, right? Okay, and I'm walking back and forth, and I'm flapping, and my husband, like, because it's all in my brain, right? I might be muttering to myself, too, and he's like, why are you flapping? Because 17 years of marriage in, he has recognized that this is a sign that I am not in an awesome place, right? That I am in a spiral for some reason or another, that I am in my head, that I am in a swirl. And he'll just go, why are you flapping? And then I pause, and I'm going to try to explain to him, and then I realize how are you ever so far in your head that when someone asks you what you're thinking, you realize it's going to take you like 3 chapters, an appendix, a couple footnotes, right? You have a whole annotated bibliography to go through just to, like, because what you're thinking makes no sense. It makes no sense. Okay, that is something I deal with, right? And so as soon as I know when he asks me, if I can't sum it up in 2 sentences, if I'm not just like, oh, I'm worried about the doctor appointment tomorrow, or I'm not sure if I should do A or B, but I'm like realizing I'm all the way at Z, right, and that I have to try to catch him up, I am worrying steps ahead of where I am. I am borrowing trouble. And let's think about this idea of borrowing trouble, right? Do you really want to be in debt to anxiety? right? Isn't there a proverb that's something about, like, the borrower is slave to the lender? So if I'm borrowing trouble, if I'm borrowing worry, I'm a slave to that thing? I'm a slave to my anxiety? I'm a slave to my trouble? I'm a slave to turmoil? Nah. No. Not cool. Not cool. So if you are in a position where you are in a place where what you was meant to be a blessing currently feels like it is a burden to you, step number one, be grateful. Step two, do not worry past where you are. Take each moment as it comes. Okay? Take each moment as it comes. And like I just said, that don't worry past where you are, it also carries the idea of not pretending something's... Hold on, I'm going to have too many negatives in here. Hold on. Don't pretend that something's okay when it's really not. Okay? Because you can do both. You can spiral down saying a whole bunch of stuff is wrong and you're not even there yet, like someone tumbling down a hill, right? You've tumbled, it's like or a snowball, right? Now it's this giant avalanche of something, right? So we can do that. We can also just bury our heads and pretend like everything's fine. There's that meme of that, I don't even know what it is, sitting in the burning room. He's like, everything's fine, right? Neither one is okay. We deal with what is. We don't go past that point, and we don't rewind to when it wasn't really true, right? If our car is busted, our car is busted. We don't pretend like it's not. We don't spiral all the way down into, and now I'm going to have to buy a whole other car, and that one's probably going to be busted too, and then I'm going to have to buy 5 more cars, and then go bankrupt. You know what I mean? Like something like, right? Okay? Where you can't even figure out how you got there. Okay? 1, be grateful. 2, don't worry past where you are. Okay? You guys got that one for free. Amen. Blessing. Now to the real sermon. Okay. But anyways, I heard that from so many people this week. So many people had things that they were like, this was supposed to be a blessing, and now it feels like I'm carrying, like, it's too heavy for me. It's too heavy for me. And the thing was, those things really were blessings. They hadn't missed the Lord. They were actually blessings. Okay? And Satan was perverting their blessing. And so we got to acknowledge his schemes. Acknowledge his twisting, but we don't throw out the whole thing just because he twisted something, right? We recognize what he's doing and we stop him. We stop it, right? Which is a great segue because the title of today's sermon is Don't Get It Twisted. Boom. Way to land that, right, Val? Yes. Okay, so don't get it twisted, and we're going to go to Haggai 1. Haggai 1. And I have some of my young adults in here who come to our young adult Bible study, and we are working through Haggai right now. Okay, so this is not what we've talked about, but some of this will be some of what we've talked about. Excuse me. Side note, the Bible studies here are all really good. I'll just lay that down. Lisa Fess's Shepherding Group, amazing. All ages Bible study, fantastic. Young adult Bible study, really, really good. If you are not in a, if this is the only community where you are doing word stuff with other people, maybe consider in this year what it would look like to add another outlet for word stuff with other people. Because this is good. Hearing the proclamation of the word of God in a service is good, but it's not really community. It's not really community unless you're taking extra time and over there in the fellowship hall, you're like talking to people about the sermon and you're talking about it across the week and everything. If you're just sitting here and listening to the proclamation, even if you're implementing it in your life later, you're not really hearing the word of the Lord in community. Okay, you're just sitting in a group right now. And it's good. It's good. But if you don't have any other outlets in your life where you are actually talking about the Word of God with other people, where you are sharing what you think about the Scriptures and hearing what other people think about the Scriptures and doing iron sharpens iron, regardless of how informal or formal that might be, I'd really just lightly press you in 2022 to consider what it might look like to get in community with people to talk about the Lord and to talk about the Word. And if you're looking for a community, all ages Bible study, young adult Bible study, if you're a young adult, the shepherding group, are all great, already in place venues where you could do that. You can also start your own thing. Cool. No problem. Alright? When I was 18, even younger than that, 17, 16, I used to meet up with a bunch of people and we used to go to Starbucks on Sunday nights, called it Sweet Aroma. Right? Because Christ is a sweet aroma to those who love him, but like a fragrance of death to those who are perishing. Right? So that gives you some insight into what kind of teen I was. Okay. So, but we used to do that. It wasn't any other church. No church sponsored it. There was no pastor who was in charge. It was a bunch of us who decided, there's an open space over here at this coffee shop. Let's roll over there and do that. And that was what we did every Sunday night for 4 years, 5 years. Just a bunch of us getting together, taking over the second floor, and talking about God's stuff. So, could be formal, could be informal, but consider it. Okay. God has plans and purposes for us. He has plans, right? And then we distort them. We twist them. We end up doing something that is not the plan, right? Whether we're talking about the huge global plans for salvation, right? Like God's original plan was for him to have a family. People who he loved and who loved him in return, who he could walk with and love and be intimate with. The garden. And then it was distorted. And then he called for it again at Mount Sinai. Right? The original call at Mount Sinai, he descends on there with clouds and thunderings and lightnings, and he tells the people to cleanse themselves so that they can all come and meet with him. He's like, let's get this thing back on track. I love you. Let's be a family. And they see the thunder and the lightning and they distort what he actually is saying and they go, Moses, you do it. Right? And they don't go. And God even today is calling us back to his original plan. He sends his son. He calls us individually into intimacy with him, into family with him, to know him. To love him, to be loved by him, to be fully known and fully seen, and to know him and to see him in return. Right? So even there, when we talk about the huge plan, right? He had it. We distorted it. We twisted it. He calls us back to it. And then plans for nations, you see it. Plans for groups of people, you see it. Plans for us individually, we see it. Where he has a plan for us. And then too many times, we distort it. But just because we distorted it, doesn't mean it went away. God calls us back to his plans. He calls us back to his plans. So my question for you, as we talk for the rest of the night, is what is the Lord calling you back to? I could be fancy and try to be like, what is the Lord, in 2022, what's the Lord calling you back to? Right? But we don't got to do the fancy stuff for it to be a real question. What is the Lord asking you to return to? Haggai 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, It is time for you yourselves to... Saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to read it one more time. Haggai, starting in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. When we first started studying this in the Young Adult Bible Study, one of the questions that Ron asked around this chunk of scripture, right, was a question about our priorities, right? Because God was not saying to them that it was wrong for them to live in houses. He was just saying, is it really time for you to be building your houses and to leave the Lord's house in ruins? And so the question that he asked, and several months ago when we hit this, I asked it the next time I preached, right? The question that Ron asked was, what in your life is in order, but it's a distraction from something in your life that's in ruins, that's actually what you're supposed to be focusing on? So what in your life is in ruins? No, backwards. What in your life is in order, but it's a distraction from something else that is in ruins, but is actually the thing the Lord wants you to focus on. And so that's another shading of the question that I just asked. What is the Lord calling you back to? What in your life is in ruins or disorder, but the Lord's actually saying it needs to be focused on? It needs to be paid attention to. Okay. So here we have in Haggai, the Lord calling his people back to the plan, back to the promise, okay? And so they have twisted this in three ways. And I would submit to you that it is the same thing we do today. Okay, so thing number one. I've changed my wording on this like four times. Okay, so I'm probably just going to say all the words. Okay? But it's all one. So you're going to hear me say it a bunch of times, but that's not point one, point two, point three. It's all point one. Okay? They twist the promise or the wording or the relationship or the alignment. They all mean the same thing, and I'm going to not literally all mean the same thing. Like, if you looked at the dictionary definition, they wouldn't all mean the same thing. But in what we're talking about, they're all the same thing, but I trust that the reason why I have all of those words there is because they're shadings that are going to help put the finger on it for different people. Okay? So thing number one is we twist the promise, the wording, the alignment, the relationship. I think I said relationship first last time and then the alignment. So, the Israelites disobeyed the Lord. God told them, if you do this thing, you're going to get carried out of the land. They did the thing, and they didn't do a bunch of other things. And then what happened? They got carried out of the land. Babylon came and dragged them into exile and razed their country. Okay? It was judgment from the Lord. It was not the work of the enemy. It was judgment from the Lord. But what he promised them was that in 70 years they would return. And that the temple of God would be rebuilt and he would make his home with them again. Okay? He made a promise to his people. Israel. God's chosen people. Right? At this time, there's no grafting in. It's them. The apple of his eye. The beloved. His people. But in verse 2, what does the Lord say? Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people. Exactly. What did I just say they were? His people. When he frequently talks to the Israelites, he say, my people say. What is he calling them right here? This people. You frequently see in shows and stuff, we don't do this for serious. Sometimes we do it for joking. But you see, like, parents in a movie or a sitcom, or maybe you've actually seen this happen in real life, when they're like, your child, right? Ron and I will do that jokingly when one of our kids is very much on display with the attributes of the other parent, right? Whether they be strengths or weaknesses, right? Very much. And I'm like, your kid, right? Won't get off the keyboard. Like, you know? I'm like, your child won't put down a book, Valerie. You know? And so, like, but that your kid, right? And so many times when you see it, it's like, they're like, you better get your child, right? Or how much more removed is it to be like, so this child won't listen. Right? Not my child. Not even your child, right? God's like, this people says. And so that's point number one. They've twisted their relationship with the Lord. They've twisted their alignment with the Lord. They are operating in such a way that he is calling them this and not my. Because I'm not saying that the Lord removed his love for them. Like, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that he's referencing a specific promise, and their behavior is so out of alignment with what he has set that he can't even say, oh, my people, because they're so far removed from being the people who are supposed to have a claim to this promise. Right? So that's why I said twisted the promise or twisted the wording. Right? How many times, like, okay, so there's a bunch of the promises in the Bible. Let's see, Second Chronicles 7:14 is a nice, easy one to reference, right? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and repent from their wicked ways, ooh, we got it, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And then we're out here like, Lord, why won't you heal my land? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So if we're not getting the thing, the then I will, from up there, then maybe we've screwed up the if. God's not faithless. We are. Right? And we're going to get into the matter of timing in a minute. But the first thing you got to check is actually, are you in alignment? Are you actually in the place for the promise? Or did you twist who the promise applied to? Did you twist who the wording was for? Did you twist the relationship that you needed to be in? Did you twist the alignment? Right? This people. That was their choice, not his. Okay? So if when you're looking at the plan, the thing, the promise, that the Lord has over your life, okay? And it doesn't seem like the thing is going the way you thought the thing would go. Start there. Are you who God said you needed to be for the thing to happen the way you said he said it was going to happen? I'll say that one more time. Are you who God said you needed to be to have the thing that God said would happen? Start there. Okay, so that's point number one. Point number two is that we twist, or we frequently, I'm not trying to put something on you guys, right? I'm sharing a path. Okay, all right. We twist timing. We think something is supposed to happen now that's supposed to happen then, or we think something's supposed to happen later that was in fact supposed to happen now. And this is where the Israelites are right here. This people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Okay, so here's the thing. There was three waves of exile. There was three waves of captivity, whatever you want to call it. Three invasions, three the things that led to them being removed from their land. Three waves. And God says, 70 years will pass, and then you will return to your land. Three waves at distinctly different times. And we're talking about 70 years later. So which 70 are we talking about? Right? Is it 70 from number one? Is it 70 from number two? Is it 70 from number three? Right? Daniel is in Babylon. He is counting the time, and he goes, he asks the Lord to count it from the first moment. Like, he's like, don't delay in your promises, God. From the first moment when they invaded, from the first moment that they took us, start the clock then. Regardless of whatever the plan was, please, Lord, have mercy on us and start it then. Right? And God does. Okay? The Israelites are allowed to return to their land, and exactly 70 years from the first invasion, they lay the foundation for the temple. 70 years. And then they're threatened, right? They're told to stop, okay? And this is 16 years later. Okay, so, you know, in some cases it could be understandable that when the opposition was really strong against them that they stopped, but the whole 16 years, people weren't up in their face saying, you better not build, right? And so there is a why didn't you keep going? Like, once the people turned around, why didn't you listen to the Lord and not to their voices? Right? Because it's been 16 years. However, if you start counting from the last invasion, 70 years from then isn't for 18 more years. So on one hand, they can kind of be like, it's not time yet. We've got time. It's not time yet. Right? They're in a gray area. Not really, because the foundation of the temple got laid at 70 years, right? So they could be like, oh, wait, the Lord fulfilled that promise. We're on the clock. The clock is ticking, right? But they're kind of in an area where you're like, but they're twisting the timing to serve themselves. And I know in my life, I'm not going to talk about any of y'all, I'll just talk about me, right? In my life, I do the same thing. I twist it because I go, oh, that blessing thing, Lord, can I have it now? And the Lord's like, that's for later. And I'm like a kid who wants their dessert before their dinner. Well, if it's good then, it's got to be better now. Right? And so I twist it to serve myself. Or things that I know are going to require a sacrifice, I twist it the other direction. I'm like, oh, when this lines up, I'll do that thing. After the raise comes, I'll start to tithe. Oh, I'll fast on the day that the party's not. Right? Things get to serve you. You guys have heard us talk about having fasting serving you when you're going into a season. We talked all about that in October. So that's not a condemnation. But when the Lord is calling you to make a sacrifice and you twist the timing, you know it's for now. Oh, tell that person about Jesus. give that homeless dude $5. Do this now, and we're like, oh, I'll catch him on the next time. We twist the timing. Okay, so point number one is we twist the promise, the wording, the relationship, the alignment. You lean into whichever one of those makes it make sense in your brain. Thing number two is we twist the timing. Last one. We twist the sacrifice or the cost or the requirement. Verse 3, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Is it time for you yourself to dwell in paneled houses? I can so easily see how that went. Well, of course the Lord wants to give us shelter. Like, why wouldn't? He doesn't want us just camping in the rain or in the sun. Of course he wants us to have shelter. He said we'd come back to dwell in the land, to live in the land. He wouldn't ask us to not build a house for my children. Of course. Of course he wouldn't. And then we twist it, because maybe it was cool to build the house. But it doesn't say, is it time for you to live in a house? It says it's time for you to dwell in paneled houses. They decorated. They made it fancy. Right? And I'm sure they justified it. How many times do we twist what the Lord is actually requiring of us? How many times do we end up with our priorities out of order because we think he couldn't possibly be demanding that from us? There's no way he would ask me to give up that. Absolutely not. That can't be the Lord. If I give that person, I hear the Lord telling me to give that person a certain amount of money, but if I do that, then I don't have it for this other thing. I know it was the Lord, but that can't be right. So I twist what he asks me to do into something that's more palatable, into something that's more tolerable. Or, oh, he's asking me to give up something big, but if I do that, everyone's going to notice. They're going to think I'm weird. He wouldn't want me to be ostracized for him. There's a whole book that says otherwise, so, you know, but we twist the cost. We twist the sacrifice. I hear it so many times when we talk about fasting, right? I mean, if I fast all day, I'm super hungry and I can't concentrate. And I've got work to do. That can't be what the Lord's asking you to do. I mean, really? In weakness, his strength is perfected. It's so easy for us to make a justification, to twist the requirement that the Lord's asking for us. Like the song we were singing earlier. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. But so many times when it comes to that all of me moment, we hold something back. Okay, it's like when my kids tell me I can have all the candy. And then they have the candy in their hand, and I get, like, three of the candy, right? They're like, oh, yeah, you can have all of this, Mommy. And then when the moment of sacrifice comes, you can have the yellow Skittles, Mommy. But I really like the red ones, right? How many times do we do that with God? He says, will you give it all to me? And we're like, yeah, God, of course, of course, of course. You can have all the Skittles, God. And then we open up our hands and we're like, but you wouldn't want me to go without these red ones, right? I mean, I really like those. They're my favorite. You wouldn't ask me to lay down that on the altar. So this year, 2022, right, if we're talking about the calendar year, right, this year, but every year, every moment is the right time to get right. This is not a New Year's Day message because it's New Year's Day. This is just the day. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time of right alignment. Now is the right time always to listen to the Lord. Right, what is it? Is this something about planting a tree? I hear it so many times, like the best time to plant a tree is 10 years from now. 10 years ago, sorry, not 10 years from now, thank you. 10 years ago, the next best time is now. Like, the right time to do whatever was yesterday or in the past. The next right time is right now. Okay, because we can't go, yesterday is gone. Okay, so right now is the right moment that if there's something the Lord is asking you to get back on track with, it can be big or it can be little. Excuse me. Some of us have big things. Big things that the Lord has asked us to do that we're out of alignment with. Some of us, it's just a small thing. I want you to spend your time in this way. Right? And it's like a little shift. You know, I want you to wake up half an hour earlier and spend time with me. Or I want you to open up your Bible before you open up your phone. Or, you know what I mean? I want you to fast once a week. I want you to do this. You know, like, it could be a smaller shift. It could be not about your life purpose. Maybe you're on track. But maybe there's a smaller shift that he's asked you to make. A smaller promise that you're not seeing fulfilled. A smaller plan that he's put out for you. At your job. With your family. In your home. With your friends. In your own personal life and spiritual development. That the Lord is going, hey, 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 that thing is in ruins. Isn't it time to make it right? Can you? And so if there's something that the Lord is putting his finger on right now, like, let's take a moment and just re-sign up, big or little. Or if you're like, I am good, grace, 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 ask for strength to stay the course. Right? If you're good, we want to stay good. If there's something where you've twisted it, we want to get it right, right now. So, Lord, we put ourselves in your hands. Holy Spirit, shine the lamp of the Lord in our spirits right now. Illuminate every cranny, every nook, every area of our spirit and our heart with the light of the Lord. We lay ourselves bare before you right now, God. And Holy Spirit, right now, lead us into truth. Show us ourselves clearly, Lord. Show us ourselves clearly, Lord. Don't let us twist away. Don't let us justify, Lord. We open our hearts to you. Right now, Holy Spirit. And we ask you right now to put your finger on those areas in our lives where you're calling us to build. Put your finger on those fields that are currently laying fallow where you're asking us to plant. Lay your finger on those buildings that are rubble and ruin, that you're calling us to rebuild or build for the first time. Huge temples or small little gardens, Lord. Whatever it may be, we do not despise what you're calling us to do, big or little, God. We don't shrink back from the big stuff. We don't despise the little stuff, God. Put your finger on it right now. In Jesus' name, reveal it to us. If you're getting revelation, I would encourage you to make a note of it. Jot it down in your journal or on a sheet of paper. Jot it down in the notes app on your phone. Steward what he tells you well. Because just like the parable of the sower, Satan will try to snatch what God reveals to you. Like the birds of the air who came down and snatched the seeds. So mark it. Mark the moment in whatever makes sense. Stay here for a moment or two longer. Give us strength, God, to hold ourselves in the light, Lord. To be seen. So, Lord, we say with David, you are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. So, Lord, let that be true for each one of us. That we will make haste and not delay to keep your commandments, to walk on the path.